Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Absorbed in the thoughts of the transcendental qualities of the Lord, who is sung in select poetry, the ladies on the roofs of all the houses of Hastinapur began to talk of him. This talk was more attractive than the hymns of the Vedas. Purport. In the Bhagavad Gita, it is said that in all the Vedic literatures, the goal is the personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. Factually, the glories of the Lord are depicted in such literature as the Vedas, Ramayana and Mahabharata. And in the Bhagavatam, they are specifically mentioned in respect to the Supreme Lord. Therefore, while the ladies on the top of the houses in the capital of the kings of the Kuru dynasty were talking about their Lord, their talk was more pleasing than the Vedic hymns. Anything sung in the praise of the Lord is Shruti Mantra. There are songs of Thakur Narottam Das, one of the acharyas in the Gaudiya Sampradaya, composed in simple Bengali language. But Thakur Vishwanath Chakravarti, another very learned acharya of the same Sampradaya, has approved the songs by Thakur Narottam Das to be as good as Vedic mantras. And this is so because of the subject matter. The language is immaterial, but the subject matter is important. The ladies who were all absorbed in the thoughts and actions of the Lord developed the consciousness of Vedic wisdom by the grace of the Lord. And therefore, although such ladies might not have been very learned scholars in Sanskrit or otherwise, still, whatever they spoke was more attractive than the Vedic hymns. The Vedic hymns in the Upanishads are sometimes indirectly directed to the Supreme Lord. But the talks of the ladies were directly spoken of the Lord, and thus they were more pleasing to the heart. The ladies' talks appear to be more valuable than the learned brahmanas' benedictions. Om Jnanti Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Tapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutha Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitamcha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Rishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpataru Bhascha Kripa Sindhu Bevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschadyadeshatarine Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Radha Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Absorbed in the thoughts of the transcendental qualities of the Lord, who is sung in select poetry, the ladies on the roofs of all the houses of Hastinapur began to talk of him. This talk was more attractive than the hymns of the Vedas. Hare Krishna. So I'm very happy and grateful to be here. It's been a long time since I've given class at Bhaktivedanta Manor. And before I begin, I just wanted to seek the blessings of all the assembled Vaishnavas present here today, that I can speak something that is inspiring and also relevant to us all. So this chapter, or this verse that we're discussing today, is when Krishna is leaving from Hastinapur to go to Dwarka. And it's actually a very instructive verse, very nice verse. And it's explaining that Krishna's more pleased by these simple ladies who were just speaking about him, rather than those hymns composed in the Vedas, which Brahmanas chant with so much perfection in different meters and so difficult to master. So Krishna is Bhava Grahi Janadana. He sees the essence within everyone. Sarvasya chaham hridi sannivishto Mattha smitim jnanam apohanam cha Vedaischu sarvairaham eva vedyo Vedanta krit veda videva chaham. So Krishna is present in the Bhagavad Gita 15th chapter, he says. He's present in everyone's heart. And Srila Prabhupada writes in this purport that in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that he is to be known through all the Vedas. And he is the knower of Veda, and also he is the compiler of the Vedas. So everything is about the Vedas is to know Krishna. And recently, His Grace Sutapa Prabhu was doing a live with the College of Vedic Studies, him and Jankinath Prabhu. And they were speaking some very, very nice points. But one point that really kind of struck me was His Grace Sutapa Prabhu asked, does Krishna accept action or intention? And when he asked this question, I was thinking, Krishna accepts intention because, you know, whatever we desire, whatever's within our heart, Krishna looks at that rather than the action. And we have many examples of that also. But the interesting point that he made is, he mentioned Putana. And Putana's intention was actually to go and kill Krishna. But what was her action? She fed some milk to Krishna, even though it's smeared with poison. And Krishna liberated her. So he was explaining that actually what Krishna sees is the good. So if we have some good intention, he'll take that. And if we have a bad intention, but we do some good action, then he'll take that. So that's Krishna's kindness. And as we surrender, ye yathamam prapadyante tamstathevya bhajamyaham. As we surrender, Krishna reciprocates. So our duty is to have good intentions and good actions, so that Krishna quickly gives his mercy. There is one pastime that we're probably all familiar with, is when Krishna went to the forest with his friends. And his friends started to say, oh, Krishna, I'm very hungry. We're all very hungry. Please arrange some prasad. And Krishna said, not far from here, there are some brahmanas performing a sacrifice. You go and ask them. Tell them that me and Balaram are here and we're hungry and you'd like some prasad. So they went there. And we all know what happened. These brahmanas just ignored them. Ignored the friends of Krishna. And recently, a few days ago actually, I was giving a class in Crawley. And I was speaking about how sometimes we're just so absorbed in our own lives, right? And I was giving the analogy of when we're writing a really important message on our phone. You know, what happens when we're writing a really important message or we're looking something on our phone and someone comes to talk to us, we normally don't hear what that person's saying, right? We just kind of ignore them. And I was actually meditating on this. And when I first actually went to learn to fly, I had a very similar experience. So when you learn to fly, there's three main aspects that are involved. Aviate, navigate, and communicate. So actually flying the plane. Navigating, so knowing where we're going. And communicating with air traffic control and other people. So when I first started to learn, you know, it was so complicated. So many different settings, flaps settings, trim settings, throttle settings, mixture settings. And I was just thinking, this is so complicated. And even when I was learning to fly, air traffic control were talking, and there were so many other things were going on, but I wasn't paying attention to any of those things. Even though I could hear things that were going on, I wasn't taking it in. So then what happens is as you continue to progress in your training, they start adding these things. So once you know a little bit how to fly, then they add communication. So you start being able to talk to air traffic control. And then when you have the whole picture, because even in life, you know, Srila Prabhupada says that we all have to fly our own plane. But we can just go about our day-to-day life and not know where we're going. So we need some navigation. We need to know our starting point and where we need to go, the destination. But in flying, that's not enough. We need to know the intermediate points as well. And how we fly is we look for landmarks. So we know that after 5 minutes, we should see a town. And within that town, there's a river passing through it. So bhakti is similar. We know where we're at. And we know that the goal is Krishna Prem. And there are many, like the yoga ladder, there are many different symptoms or qualities that we need to aspire for. And it's like a checklist. So as we're progressing through our bhakti, we should be regularly checking, how far have I got? Have I developed these qualities yet? And then communication. So air traffic control is, I always compare it to like the sadhus. Because they're giving you the advice that if you turn here, you'll make it to the airport. If you go this way, you'll head in this direction. So they're always there to assist you. So always being in touch with the sadhus. So we go through life sometimes, and Krishna, within the heart, as Jeta Guru, is trying to give us some lesson, trying to give us some understanding. But because we're so absorbed in that one activity that we're doing, we just don't hear him. So this, in aviation, it's called situational awareness. When you know exactly what's going on, you know where you are, you know where other aircrafts are, and you're flying the plane, it's called situational awareness. And within our lives, we also need to bring situational awareness. So again, refer to that a class by His Grace Uttapa Prabhu. And he was speaking about introspection and how important it is to reflect. And by this reflection and introspection, we can actually understand what Krishna is trying to teach us. Otherwise, we'll just go through life doing the same things and not going deeper into bhakti. So they ignored Krishna. They ignored Krishna and Balaram's friends, these brahmanas. So these friends went back to Krishna feeling very dejected that, you know, we couldn't serve you. We couldn't reach the goal. We couldn't get any prasad. So Krishna said, don't worry, go to the brahmanas' wives. They will surely give you something. So they went there. And the brahmanas' wives, as soon as they heard that Krishna and Balaram were in the forest and they were hungry, immediately they packed up all their things and started to head towards the forest. And the brahmanas, they tried to stop them. Said, no, you have to help us. In the marriage ceremony, as part of the saptapati, the seven vows that the lady takes. One of those vows is, wherever my husband is performing any sacrifice, any donation, any devotion, I will be there to support him. So the Brahmin will say, you have to stay here and support us. But says, no, we're going. Krishna and Balaram need us. So they just left. So we see that Krishna was more pleased by the actions of the wives of the Brahmanas rather than the Brahmanas who were performing this big Vedic sacrifice, spending so much time and resources in this, but they weren't able to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. When I read this verse, I remembered another pastime, which is very similar to what was being described in this verse. When Kamsa found out that Krishna was the son of Vasudeva and Devaki, he wanted to call Krishna to Mathura so he could kill him. So he sent Akura there. And there were many wonderful pastimes and the painful separation of Krishna leaving Vrindavan and the vision of Akura that he saw when Krishna and Balaram went to take a bath in the Yamuna. But as they were entering close to the city, Krishna and Balaram requested Akura to go back home. But Akura was pleading with Krishna that, please come to my home. Please come to my home so I can serve you. I can wash your feet. I can give you some prasad. And he started glorifying the water that washes the feet of Krishna in very beautiful poetry. But Krishna said, I will surely come to your home, but I need to do one activity first. I need to kill Kamsa before I do anything else. So Akura, with a heavy heart, he returned back home. And he dropped Krishna, Balaram and his entourage just at a garden outside the city of Mathura. And as the evening closed, Krishna decided that now we will go and explore the city of Mathura. So as they entered, they saw Mathura from outside. And a beautiful description is given in the Srimad Bhagavatam about how Mathura had these massive gates. And these gates had golden arches. And within the city of Mathura, there were beautiful peacocks and doves. And the streets were all aligned with gemstones. Each of the houses burned lamps and had flags. And there were massive guild halls and many private gardens. The roads had been sprayed with fragrant waters. It created a beautiful atmosphere for Krishna to enter into. And Krishna and his entourage began to enter into Mathura. Tam sampravishto vasudeva nandano vrito vise naradeva vrtanana drishto samastvavatata purashtriyo harmani chevo nirpo utsakaha. It's described that the women of Mathura, they assembled and went to the rooftop of their houses to see the two sons of Vasudev. And they did this with great eagerness. And this word is very important. Utsakaha. And we find this quality is mentioned again and again through our Shastras. Srila Rupa Goswami mentions in Nectar of Instructions the six qualities that are favorable for devotion. And the first quality that he mentions is utsaha, or enthusiasm. Srila Prabhupada writes in that purport that even in material world, to be successful, you need to be enthusiastic. And I was just thinking that when I start a new job, the first few weeks, we're very enthusiastic to do well. But slowly and surely, that enthusiasm goes away. And then we would just become bored in one sense. And even within bhakti, when we first come in and we get convinced of the philosophy, we're very enthusiastic to do service, to do anything that's required. But for some people, that enthusiasm wears off. But even Lord Chaitanya, he says that this, he very much appreciates this quality of enthusiasm. And we hear this pastime of in Jagannath Puri, inside the temple, everyone was taking darshan, and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had his spot where he would stand next to this pillar. And this one lady, she was very eager to take darshan, but she couldn't see Lord Jagannath. So she climbed on this pillar and she put her foot on Lord Chaitanya. And Govinda, who was Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's personal servant, saw this. And he began to chastise her. How can you put your foot on the Supreme Personality of Godhead? That is the greatest offense. And Lord Chaitanya turned to Govinda. And he began to chastise him. And he said that Lord Jagannath has not bestowed so much eagerness on me. This Vaishnavi has fully absorbed her body, her mind in taking darshan of Lord Jagannath. And therefore she was unaware that she was putting her foot on my shoulder. How fortunate is this woman. I pray at the feet of this lady that she may favor me with great eagerness to see Lord Jagannath. So here we see again how the Lord accepts the bhava. And this quality of eagerness or enthusiasm really pleased him. So how do we become enthusiastic? Srila Prabhupada has said that, was asked this question once, that how do I become enthusiastic? And he said, you become enthusiastic to become enthusiastic. I also asked His Holiness Chandamouli Swami the same question. And he said, you fake it to make it. So if Krishna sees that you're sincerely trying to your best, even though you may not be from the heart enthusiastic, but you're trying, then Krishna will give you that enthusiasm. And I was just thinking of a few years ago, I went to South India for a yatra. And we went to Tirupati temple, Balaji. It's a very busy temple, very, very busy. People queue for 6, 7, 8 hours to see Lord Balaji. But we were fortunate, there was one devotee who knew the police commissioner. He was his uncle. So we got a fast track. So we only had to wait for 1 hour. But even that 1 hour was felt like a great austerity. Because in India, people are very eager to take darshan. So you're always getting pushed from behind, even if there's nowhere else to go. And in my heart, I was getting frustrated. I was thinking, oh, you know, why are people like this? Why can't they just be patient? And then I prayed to Krishna that, you know, Krishna, please give me some guidance. Like, what should I do in such a situation? I'm getting frustrated. And this pastime of Lord Jagannath and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came into my head. That Krishna actually appreciates the eagerness. And I was just thinking that these people just may be very eager to see Lord Balaji. And I shouldn't criticize them. But the mind is such that it doesn't like to see the good in everyone. So then I thought about, well, actually, when we landed in India, as soon as the plane landed and it got off the runway taxiing, everyone got up and started taking their bags down, even though the seatbelt sign was still on. And I was thinking, in no other country does that happen. It's only when you go to India where people just get up and are in a rush. So I was thinking that, are they eager to see the Lord or are they just impatient? But I said, The Shastras say that we should be like the bee and we should always seek out the nectar. So we should always see the good in people because we don't know the intentions. So the enthusiasm is very important. But sometimes we fall short. In the line of bhakti, there are many rules and regulations. And sometimes we just fall short. We can't follow those rules. We try our best, but something happens. We know that sense gratification actually leads to misery. Yehi samsparsha ja bhoga dukha yo ena evate adya antavantu konteya na teshu ramante buddha. That Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita that all sense gratification is ultimately leads to misery because it has a start and a finish. We know that. We read it many times. But sometimes we still engage in sense gratification. And then what happens? We feel guilty, right? We feel guilty that we've fallen short. And sometimes in that guilt, we think, I'm not going to practice my bhakti. I'm not going to chant my rounds because I'm just so fallen. I'm not going to come to the temple. What does Krishna say about this? It's very interesting, actually. Krishna is so kind. So in the 11th canto, when he's speaking to Uddhav, he says that, yes, my devotees, they know. They know that sense gratification is wrong. They know that sense gratification leads to misery. But sometimes they're unable to renounce all sense gratification. Shri Shri Radha Gokul Nanda Ki Jai. Shri Shri Sita Ram Lakshman Hanuman Ki Jai. Shri Shri Gaur Nitai Ki Jai. Shri La Prabhupada Ki Jai. Sometimes they're just unable to renounce sense gratification. So what should a person do? And Krishna says the first thing the person should do is he should repent sincerely. He should feel sorry that he's done something wrong and he should try and change his ways. But he should also remain happy. Right? Sometimes what can happen is that we can feel so guilty that we just become depressed. But Krishna is saying in this verse, it's from the 11th canto, chapter 20, text 27. That we should still remain happy. And we should worship people with great faith and conviction. So I found it very interesting that Krishna doesn't say that you've fallen short, you're a fool. He says you should repent, but also you should remain happy. And continue with conviction, with faith, to do devotion. So we don't lose hope. Whatever happens within our lives, we don't lose hope, but we continue this process. So the next verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam, in continuation of Mathura, Krishna entering into Mathura, Kaschid vipragra data vastra bhushana vismita chekam yugalashe attapara Kritkei patra shavane kanupura nankar dvetyam tvaparaschalochanam. It's explained that these ladies, they heard that Krishna and Balaram are entering into Mathura. So in great eagerness, they went to the rooftop. But in that great eagerness, some of these ladies, they put on their clothes backwards. Some of them put on one ornament and not the other ornament. Some of them who were feeding their babies left their babies. Some of them were doing important work and just left that. And they all quickly ran to the rooftop. So we see some similarities here. Where else have we heard a similar verse? In the 10th canto, there's a similar verse. Yes, when the gopis. So the gopis had a very similar experience. When they heard Krishna's flute, they completely forgot everything. They didn't know what they were doing. All they knew is that they had to be with Krishna. So they just left everything. And they turned up. You know, some of them weren't dressed properly. Some of them didn't have their makeup on properly. But they just turned up because they were eager to see Krishna. And even we had, just previously I was speaking about the wives of the brahmanas, even they were so eager and they didn't stop and listen to their husbands. So we hear these three groups of people. The gopis, the brahmanas' wives, and these ladies of Mathura. Their level of surrender is Atmanivedanam, the topmost. Not caring for material designation, material duties, or obligations. They just, soon as they heard Krishna's here, they forgot everything and just went to see him. So how do we get this level of surrender? Once on a morning walk, someone asked Srila Prabhupada, can I just surrender in any way I want? And Srila Prabhupada said, no, you have to surrender like the gopis. Gopi batu kamalo das das anudas. It's very interesting that all these three groups of people that I mentioned, they attain this level of surrender in the same way. The gopis, they say this very beautiful verse. Tava katham ritam tapta jivanam kavi beredritam kalmashapaham shravanamangalam śrīmadātatam bhuvigrinantiye brūhida janaha. They say, tava katham ritam, your beautiful pastimes, they provide relief from all those who are suffering in this material world. Just by hearing this pastimes, people feel so much solace. Similarly, the ladies of Mathura, in the next verse, it's described that they had repeatedly heard about Krishna. And as soon as they saw Krishna with their eyes, they drank Krishna's beauty and they embraced him within their hearts. So the secret of attaining this level of surrender is hearing and chanting. Krishna also says, again in 11th canto, Shraddhalu matkatha shinvan subhadraloka pavanaha gayan anusmaran karma janmachabhinayam muhu. He says that if we listen with faith to his katha, Subhadra lokana pavanaha, that not only the speaker and the listeners get purified, but the whole universe gets purified. And we can sing his pastimes, Gayan and Anusmaran. We should constantly remember his pastimes. And he also says we can perform different dramas to these pastimes. And we should do this repeatedly. And in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, it's explained what happens when we do this. Shrinvatam swakatha Krishna punya shravana kirtanam hridayantostu habrani vidunoti suhitsatam. That when we listen with great attention and enthusiasm, Krishna from within the heart purifies us. Krishna then gives us the qualities to be able to fully surrender. Sarva dharmam parityaja. To be able to fully surrender to Krishna. So Krishna is actually going to do the hard work. All we have to do is listen and be enthusiastic to listen with rapt attention, Prabhupada says. And then what it is the result of that, of listening to those pastimes? This is one of my favorite verses, and it gives me a lot of encouragement in my spiritual life. Tadeva ramyam ruchiram navam navam tadeva shashvam manaso mahotsavam tadeva shokha navashoshana nirnam yaduttam shloke yasho anugiyate. When one has that level of surrender, the pastimes of Krishna have so much taste, ruchiram, ramyam, and they are ever fresh, navam, navam. When we hear those pastimes again and again, there is a great festival within the mind, manaso mahotsavam. And any material suffering goes far, far away just by hearing the glories of Uttama Shloke. So it's very wonderful that just by hearing, such a simple process, just by hearing, we can become so blissful. Krishna says, Machitta Matgatta Prana Bodhyanta Parasparam Kathayantascha Mam Nityam Tushyanticha Ramanticha. That my devotees, they are constantly hearing my pastimes again and again. And they're deriving more and more bliss. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he gave us the example to follow. He would sit with Gadadhar Pandit and he would listen to Srimad Bhagavatam. And Gadadhar Pandit would tell the story of Dhruva Maharaj. And he would go through all the prayers of Dhruva Maharaj. And then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would say, tell the story again. And again he would hear it. And as you're coming to the completion of the story, Lord Chaitanya would say, say the story again. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was teaching us by his example how we should hear Srimad Bhagavatam. My Guru Maharaj says that if we are not happy or enthusiastic to hear the same pastime again and again, that we have not advanced enough in our bhakti. Many times we go to a class and we know the speaker is speaking about a particular pastime. And we can think, I've heard this pastime. I know this pastime. I'm going to just switch off. My mind is going to go on holiday. And I'm going to have a nice time. But actually, real advancement is that we can hear the same pastime, but we feel more and more bliss from hearing that pastime. So how is it possible to achieve this? And Krishna explains. He says, to get Vasudeva Katha Ruchi, one has to do Mahat Sevaya. This is explained in the first canto, first chapter, text 16. That in order to have some attachment for Krishna Katha, one first has to have faith, and then second, he has to hear from someone who is attached to these kathas, to these narrations. And third, he should serve such a person. So we can serve by hearing, but we can also serve by doing personal service. So this is the secret of getting taste for Krishna's kathas. And it's explained in the following verse, that after getting this taste and after this surrender, these ladies of Mathura, they went to the rooftops. And what did they do? They didn't only just drink in Krishna's beauty, but they did some service. And the service that they did was they showered flower petals. So we can hear Krishna Katha, but it should also manifest into service, loving service for the Lord. Because it's natural that when we hear the glories of such a wonderful person, we think that how can I serve him? He's doing so much for me. I want to be able to serve him. So I thought it was a very nice pastime, and it was very similar to the verse that we read today about how the ladies, they went to the top of their houses to see Krishna. And similarly in Mathura, the same happened sometime previous. So to summarize, Krishna sees the essence within all of us. And he's so kind that he takes whatever's good and he doesn't really see the bad. We talked about the importance of being enthusiastic in spiritual life. And even to a certain extent, in material life, to be successful, Prabhupada says we have to be enthusiastic. If we do, however, fall short, we make some mistakes, then Krishna says we should still continue our service and we should still remain happy. Then we heard of the surrender of the three different groups of people, the gopis, the Mathura ladies, and the Brahmana's wives. And how they attained that surrender was by hearing the pastimes of Krishna. And even when the Brahmana's wives went to see Krishna, Krishna told them to go back home. And he said, not by physical proximity does one attain me, but by hearing and chanting, one actually attains me. So even at that point, Krishna advised them to hear and chant. And we get this attraction, this attachment for hearing by serving the sadhus. So I'd like to thank you very much for your kind attention. And if you have any questions, then I'll be happy to take.